Welcome to The House Files, a podcast about building a triplex in Portland, Oregon, which is mainly exists to talk you out of doing such a thing.
So many decisions.
There's so many decisions. So we thought we would do an episode just about the stove debate because, one, it's kind of trending like right now, and we're not above following a trend, but we also had to make this decision, and we had so many feelings about this. We actually filmed an entire video about choosing appliances, and it was just too long.
It was way too long. It turned out it was actually like five videos.
So we're just going to talk about
stoves, oven.
We'll even see if we get to the ovens, really. Yeah. So we have to pick stoves for three different units.
Yeah, so it turns out building a triplex means you have to make three decisions for everything. Three stoves, three fridges, three ovens.
Here is the reason why it got a little more complicated and we can't just do the same for all three units. The kitchen layouts, every part of the layout for all three units is totally different.
Completely different, yeah.
But luckily, in kind of the analysis that we went through, we were able to end up around the mostly the same appliances for the two rental units. But our kitchen, as evidenced in our How to Make Kitchens for Short People video, we actually split out the oven and the range top.
We should clarify, our kitchen, for people who haven't been following along necessarily, we are going to be living in one of these three units, and the other two will be rentals. Which, and we are both very short people.
Yeah, we're not very short.
Depends on your standards. I've been called short many times, and you know that
you're the
means
one that gets things off tall shelves in this house.
Yeah, that is true, but that's only because I'm taller than you and the cat.
So we essentially split the oven and the range in ours, but we really went back and forth because we cut off the gas to the place. They actually came with giant scissors and snipped the gas line, as far as I understand.
Right. When we were tearing down the house that was there, then there was gas to that house. It was gas heating, not a gas
stove or dryer. No gas dryer.
Just gas for heat. And when we were tearing down the house, we had to call the gas company and get them to clip the gas line and cap it off. And that was a whole process. They like came out and dug up the street and then capped the gas line like in the middle of the street because we were not planning on doing gas.
And I gotta say, I wasn't completely on board with this.
Yeah.
I grew up with gas stoves and I really like them, but they are incredibly hard to get in rentals in Portland.
Yeah.
Unless you happen to live in the very old sector of the city where they hosted the World's Fair, those are the only apartments that have gas in them. And I have had every type of terrible electric stove in my life.
I have had a lot of terrible electric stoves too, and I really, really, really hate when the coil is exposed on the stove.
I think everybody hates those because it's never flat.
Why is it never flat?
I think they come out of the factory not flat.
Yeah.
And they're also really hard to clean, but I will say very satisfying if you stay up till like 4 a.m. cleaning your kitchen and you soak each one of those little pans that goes underneath them and then you get them. Yeah.
There's probably a YouTube channel dedicated to that.
Absolutely. The only in the most recent two apartments we've lived in, these are like the nicest apartments I've ever had. There is a glass electric stove.
Yeah, which is a very big step up above the coil, exposed coil, but it is still a coil under a glass top.
And one of the big downsides of those glass ones over the coil is that they are very pretty princesses, and they're hard to clean. So they're hard to clean in a different way from the 1970s electric coil stoves, but they also like can scratch really easily, especially as people that cook with cast iron pans every day. Like I'm always very nervous about them, and you have to get like a special cleaner so you don't like end up hurting them. And I end up, you know, every 2 weeks spending about 20 minutes with a razor and the special cleaner cleaning them. And so I was pretty convinced that induction, everybody was telling me that induction was essentially that. Like, to me, I thought, like,
you thought it was a more expensive version of a glass electric?
Absolutely. I just thought it was a way for rich people to have a glass electric stove, but call it something else. Mm-hmm. I knew they were really expensive and not all your pans would work with them. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't really convinced that they were superior in any way. And I was kind of grumpy about the idea that I wouldn't be able to get a gas stove because I was like, if we're going through all the work of building an entire house, why can I not have a gas stove? So we actually had to start shopping for the appliances before construction even started because of all the supply chain issues because of COVID. It's like been hell for anybody to get mm-hmm. appliances. I think there was like a washing machine shortage going on for like quite a long time. Dishwashers are like 18 months out or something. So we, before we even actually broke ground, we had to start shopping for appliances. So we went to the two kind of big contractor appliance stores. And the first one, they were really obsessed with quality, warranties, and longevity. That was their like kind yep. of pitch. They were a bunch of people that had kind of broken off from the even bigger appliance contractor store and were kind of like the more specialty one, but they only carried brands that they were like obsessed with the warranty mm-hmm. and the lifespan of. And the salesperson there showed us induction. And I started to think that maybe it might be better than just a really expensive electric stove.
They had a demo unit set up on the floor, right?
They had a demo unit and it boiled water in 45 seconds. Yeah. It was wild.
It was impressive.
Yeah. It's and just you can just touch the surface.
Yeah.
When you like that part is really wild to me.
It still seems like magic to me because it makes water hot, but it doesn't generate heat.
Yeah.
It's very confusing.
So that was one of the concerns that I had, because if you're used to glass electric stoves, even more so than coil electric stoves, they take forever to heat up. Like, boiling water takes the longest yep. on a glass electric stove. I think way longer than the coils, just because coils are just this, like, bananas conductor of heat. It's like a kettle I used to have that was just like a wire that went into the water. And
it seemed
like maybe that wasn't, like, a good thing. Yep. But
it is fast.
It is fast. And the induction is actually more efficient because there's none of that loss. A lot of the reason those glass tops are so slow is because there's like just a lot of loss of mm-hmm. energy when it's transferring. So I kind of like, I was a little bit convinced of the efficiency, but I still like, there are things about gas that are nice. Fire. We as humans, we understand fire cooks food.
Yeah. Yeah.
you know, you can't perfectly toast a tortilla or a crumpet right. over, you know, you can't flame sear something. We have a flat bottom wok that we use on this darn glass electric stove.
It does not work well.
It really does not work well because you don't get the licks up the side. Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there is like fire is very romantic. It's very, there's been a lot of effort put into making fire in your kitchen seem like the best possible way to cook food.
But a thing I learned in the process of this is part of the reason that I am convinced that gas is the ultimate luxury in cooking and that it is a thing that we need for cooking is due to a long-running marketing campaign by natural gas. I had no idea.
Yeah, I used to go to the Street of Dreams, which is a house show in the Portland area. Where
whole McMansions are built.
They build like 6 to 8 of these every year and in a new suburb somewhere in the area. And then they turn them into show houses. And it's kind of like an expo hall where all the vendors of different parts of a house will come and put their top of the line, whatever, in the house. And then it's open to the public and you can buy a ticket to walk around and look at these 8 houses. And they do sell the houses. Sometimes you're walking through and half of them are already sold. But they are definitely, they're show houses. and it's for all the top of the line stuff. And every single one has a gas stove. Always. And there sometimes two. There's the kitchen and then there's the outdoor kitchen. And then I realized, thinking back on this, like, you know, 20 years after I've been going every year with my parents, it's not just called the Street of Dreams, it's called the Northwest Natural Street of Dreams, which is the gas company, who has been sponsoring this show for decades. The gas company. Why do all the kitchens have gas? Why do all the fanciest houses that are getting built have gas? Because the gas company is sponsoring it.
Also, I will have to say, as someone who looks more at the aesthetic side of things, every beautifully interior designed place has a gorgeous gas stove. Mm-hmm. And I've noticed the ones I love the most are meant to emulate like coal or wood fired stoves. Like the design elements in them will be these like beautiful hearth style stoves, but they'll be natural gas. I guess apparently, and also the phrase, now you're cooking with gas, is also like part of the big gas
marketing campaign
that we've all been living with all along. So, you know, it started as like radio ads in the 50s. So it's been a concerted effort to get us to associate gas with luxury. But what it is common in North America of piping a active gas line into one's house is really uncommon, even in other countries where they do cook with gas. It's much more normal to have like a propane canister that is not attached to a just live gas line that comes into your house, like is normal in America. The real concern, besides the environmental reasons why maybe we shouldn't have gas piped directly into our house, it turns out it's real bad for you to breathe constant cooking on gas inside your house, which is when I was working in India with women, one of the things that they were very focused on was sustainable cooking devices because it lowered the indoor air pollution for women, especially living in slums, that would cook using like dung or, you know, any kinds of fuel that were not necessarily like very good air quality. And so they would work to make stoves that would contribute to the air quality. And it was like astounding how bad the indoor air pollution was for a lot of the women in India and their kids. And it would affect like the kids' school performance because not being able to breathe good air affects you, as we learned when we had like 600 AQI or whatever in Portland.
Fires in Portland. That was out of control. I gave one of the worst workshops ever during that because I was at the studio doing a workshop, no air filters at all. And all the reviews I got after that were like, the presenter seemed really distracted. I felt like he was checking his phone the whole time. He wasn't really like focused.
My boss was like, it seems like you've been really distracted this week at work. And it's like, because the indoor air quality is poisoning me. Poor Dora was like wandering around like wheezing.
Yeah.
All of this to say, turns out that's true with gas stoves as well. It's, you know, we now have like a fair amount of evidence that, you know, you're far more at risk for childhood asthma if you grow up in a house with a gas stove. And all of this to say, didn't seem like the best thing to do for indoor air quality. But the real cincher for me was earthquake safety.
Yeah.
So because we're building a new construction in Portland, which if you don't know, is going to be taken down by a big earthquake any moment now.
Has been about to be taken down for the last 20 years or so.
But that like 20 years is any moment now in like seismology or whatever the study of earthquakes is.
Yeah.
I think you can read like a dramatic New York Times fiction essay that like imagines what it's going to be like.
It was great. Terrifying, but great.
Well, but also like it's such a known quantity here that like we have emergency teams for each like neighborhood in the city of Portland. And then every year they run a bike like alley cat race on cargo bikes meant to simulate day three after a disaster. And the entire purpose is to demonstrate and prepare for what it would be like to use cargo bikes as in emergency preparedness after the earthquake. But guess what's really not safe to have in your house when you have an earthquake? A pipeline of gas going directly into your house. And then apparently it's a one of the biggest issues for even like minor earthquakes or certain kinds of freezes and stuff like that. It is one of the first things that gets shut off. And so it can take like weeks to get it back on as well.
That's a great point.
And our friend who is a like a fire engineer in the insurance industry was like, don't get a gas stove. I can tell you all sorts of reasons. He also told us not to get a house battery.
Yeah. Well, I have another reason not to get a house battery. It turns out they're like $30,000.
I mean, that's a good reason, but also we've discovered anything could be $30,000. Sure. So, but yeah, they're also just like a giant fire risk.
Yeah.
So, which it kind of makes sense. Like, you don't even want like a slightly gone bad little phone that has a warped lithium ion battery. Right. So like, why would you want to put it on the side of your house?
Yeah. So yeah, we're thinking not a lot of pros to getting a gas stove.
They're pretty though. The gas stoves come in cuter colors.
Oh yeah.
Like absolutely. Yeah.
No, the induction cooktops, I love that they're super efficient. They're the most efficient way to transfer energy into your water that you're cooking. I don't think they're pretty. They're sleek, you know, nice flat surfaces. They're not like pretty.
The induction stoves?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The only thing that's kind of like aesthetically interesting about them are the Freedom Surfaces ones. So we discovered, like everything, you can spend $20,000 on a stove. Unfortunately, they don't drop down significantly from there for the induction, the nice induction cooktops. And there is this one called a Thermador Freedom where you can put a pan anywhere on it. There's not set burners in any way.
It
you
figures just, like, out where the pan is and then it turns those on.
Yeah,
it's so cool.
It's so cool. But it's not cheap. So the other thing that we kind of ran into was the technology isn't that new, but it's still relatively new. And one of the concerns that we had when we were kind of looking at these is that the lifespan of these is not quite up to a 20-year lifespan right now, the way that it is for a lot of electric stoves. And the downside that we were sort of running into was, do we want to spend a bunch to get a nice, like kind of luxury induction stove that's top of the line now if it's going to burn out in 10 years and the technology will likely have gotten a ton cheaper
and better
in 10 years. So is it better to get a mid-range one or a lower kind of range one right now and then, you know,
plan on replacing it,
which is kind of where we ended up.
Yeah. And it's not like we're buying the cheapest one, but we're not going for the most expensive one because that didn't seem like the value was there yet.
Yes. Also, it's really expensive.
Really, really expensive.
It's very expensive. So altogether, our budget for all three units for appliances was set at $22,000. But that was prior to 8% inflation and massive supply chain holdups.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, I've been stuck with like really crappy electric rental stoves for like 14 years. So I was like, we're going to get something nice when we get it. What we were trying to decide, should we go with induction in the rental units? Because we had become convinced for it for ours, but we had a real concern, especially in the one that we're hoping to do like medium short-term rentals on. Will people even know how to use the induction stove?
Right.
And that was one of my big concerns. But one of the salespeople actually pointed out that the induction stove is a lower fire risk in the rental units because people, if they leave a pan on the stove or they put something on the stove that isn't a pan, it's not going to catch on fire, which is a huge risk with electric stoves in particular. And then obviously anytime you pump gas.
Obviously gas, yeah.
Gas anywhere.
I just, the thing about gas that gets me is like you can just leave a stove on accidentally and just fill your house with gas.
Yes. Yeah. That was like, I remember that being a huge concern when I was growing up. And you'd always like listen for the click and like.
Make sure that it's burning before you walk away from it. Yep. Otherwise, you're going to fill your house up with explosive gas.
Yep. You know, in our current rented apartment, we have entirely GE appliances and they're fine. But they have kind of highlighted to me why we want to maybe go a little more high market.
Yeah.
Particularly because our aim is to have a slightly higher market style apartment.
Yep. For the rentals, yeah.
For the rentals. So the dream range for our unit would be that Thermador Freedom induction range, but it is like a bazillion dollars.
It was too expensive. It sounds so cool, though. I love the idea so much.
Yep.
You don't have to plan for what size of pot you're putting down. Like, oh, do you want to put a giant, you know, double wide grill down, and then you want to put like a tiny pot next to it. It sounds great, but it is just so expensive and it doesn't really make sense now.
Well, and then one of the other ones we like, the Miele 30 inch, does have like a side section for like a long griddle, but then you can also put two pans there and stuff. And I do keep trying to remind myself one of the advantages of induction is that you don't constantly have to like move it off the hot area to somewhere else, which is exactly what I hate about our electric one. We ended up finding for the rental units, Samsung has an induction slide-in range.
Right, and this is where it's built into the oven, so it's one unit, like you see in most rentals.
Yep. Slide-in, just as far as I can tell, it means two things. One, you know those like terrible where the knobs are on the back?
Oh, yeah.
That's a freestanding. A slide-in is usually where the knobs are in the front. So you don't have to reach over a hot pot to turn the knobs.
Right.
Also, they're impossible to clean on the back.
Yeah.
And a freestanding range will have the sides finished versus a slide-in will not because it's intended to have cabinets.
Build into the cabinets.
On either side. Yeah.
So it's one step up of what we have in this apartment. One step up from that seems like a good option. And yeah, induction for the rentals.
Yes. And, you know, your parents have a short-term rental that they use, and they put induction. They got induction, I believe, from IKEA, because IKEA sells, like, single induction hands. And your mom said that she thought it was going to be a problem, and they had, like, the instructions on how to use it. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people are really used to them now, and pretty much folks that are coming from Europe, their induction is like far more common in Europe, partially because of all the climate goals they have in the EU and the fact that few people have gas piped into their building.
And then she pointed out that for the short-term rentals, when people are not bringing their own pots, you just put the right kind of pot there.
Right.
So that they don't have to think about it. So that every pot works on the stove. So it's really only slightly confusing if it's a longer-term rental.
And they don't have the right pots.
And they don't have the right pots.
So I will also say we don't own anything that isn't induction friendly already. Like
we have not put a lot of thought into our pot collection either.
Yeah. We weren't trying to future proof our pot collection or anything like that. I just have a preference for heavy bottomed pans and I like my the bottom of it to be clad a certain way. But you know, I bought mine at Big Lots. Like my pot collection, I bought at Big Lots in 2005, and they have they're all induction fine. Mm-hmm. So, and we also cook on cast iron a lot.
So yeah, seems like not a lot of downsides actually, especially when you can get an affordable option too, because we didn't want to have to spend, you know, a huge amount of the budget in every one of the kitchens. Stoves.
I did find out you can get really beautiful induction ranges, like gorgeous.
Really?
Yes. But they're very expensive and there's no way we would put them. They're pretty much like our entire appliance budget for one item.
Okay.
Other flip side of that, even if like we could afford it, we already designed the kitchen to have a separate oven and stovetop so that the stovetop can be slightly lower down so it's more comfortable to cook for mostly me, but also you. And because of that, it wouldn't work because it's a like piece.
Oh,
together.
It's all one unit. Oh, interesting.
This is an induction range.
I would never have guessed. Yeah.
But isn't it beautiful?
$12,000.
Yeah, it's okay. Don't look at the price because we're not going to get it. So don't look at the price.
Okay. Looks like a gas stove. The thing that we've all been trained to think is the best.
I like to think it's more just like about the fact that it's classic, but yeah, it's probably actually just that I've been tricked into believing that it's beautiful by a slow marketing campaign my entire life.
Yeah.
So in the end, we picked the Samsung slide-ins because they were able to get us a deal on them at they actually weren't out yet, so we didn't even get to see it yet.
Right.
But hopefully we get it on time and everything's fine. And then we picked the Folger Milano oven, which had we really didn't want to have like a super touchscreen only option. We wanted to have tactile.
I just don't want to be using a phone when I'm setting the oven temperature.
Right. Which absolutely frustrating.
Yeah, like give me knobs. I want to turn the temperature up.
I'm not like passionate about ovens, but I use an oven a lot. So for me, it was more about like, I need it to be functional, but I don't care that much.
Yeah.
So we like this one, but we're paying extra so that we don't just have a touchscreen.
I know the physical knobs are more expensive, which I guess makes sense because they're actual mechanical things, but it just seems wrong.
All right. Well, that is how we didn't get gassed by the gas lobby. And
yeah, I'm still pretty sold on that decision to just cut the gas line at the street and no longer have gas on the property.
Yep. I'll report back, but I've heard cleaning an induction stove is much easier because it's not hot on the surface. So it doesn't bake the food on the way that the glass electric stove does. So I'll report back.
Yeah.
What we didn't know we needed to know. I was really surprised that there is a huge warehousing issue now where no one has any warehouses. So we had to predict out how long when we ordered things they would be sitting in the warehouses because the, you know, supplier for the appliances usually will store things for free, like while you wait to finish your project. But they were so out of warehousing space at both places that we went to that the show floor was filled with boxes of appliances because both of them were like totally, their warehouses were totally full. And they'd actually gotten to the point where they were starting to charge people for warehousing
storage fees
if you had to store it there for too long because the supply chains are so screwed up. People's like dishwashers were coming in like a year later than their like microwaves were, and it was just like everything was very screwed up supply chain wise. So I was really surprised about that. And do we have a word of the week?
Word of the week?
Cooking with gas, I would say. Surprised to hear that was actually all just integrated marketing.
I mean, kudos to that marketing team because they baked that in real deep.
I wonder if they won awards, like advertising awards.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you for listening. Stay tuned next week for another episode about finishing framing.
So many exciting things happening right now.
And stay safe out there. We'll see you soon. And probably don't build a triplex.
All right.